Good morning, 7:40, Tuesday, June 8th. After years of rumors and predictions by the social media community, Twitter has finally taken the wraps off its first subscription product. And with us to talk about Twitter Blue, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, is Twitter Blue Twitter Gold?
Good morning, Bob. For now, let's call it Twitter with a twist. Twitter Blue isn't yet available in the U.S., coming very soon, but they're starting in Canada and Australia. But my impression so far, based on reading a lot of feedback from the people who are actually using it, is that there's plenty of room for more.
And does that mean more features?
More useful features. In announcing it, Twitter says that it's catering to the people who use Twitter a lot and have asked for more power features. So these features, with the exception of one or two that I have seen, they really are not checking that box for me.
So what does someone who signs up for Twitter Blue get?
Well, Twitter has sent out a list, and here's some of them, or the big ones so far. So you can bookmark folders, which is considered to be an easy way to organize the tweets that you save. You can undo a tweet, so if you have a typo, you forget to tag someone, you can preview and revise your tweet before it goes live. There's something called reader mode, which helps you if you have long tweet threads and turn them into easy-to-read text. There's customizable app icons, there's fun color themes, and there's access to dedicated subscription customer support.
Haven't people been asking for the ability to undo a tweet forever? I've been advocating for this, not only for Twitter, but also anything you do on Facebook or email.
Well, in the case of Twitter, that's actually edit that you're thinking of, not undo. Undo gives you up to 30 seconds between hitting send and it appearing in the feed. For me, that's called proofreading, and I get that free of charge.
You mentioned one, maybe two that are okay, huh?
Yeah. The reader mode, that has potential. That makes reading long threads easier. What I definitely like, though, is the sound of that last one, which is dedicated customer support. Anyone who has ever used Twitter will tell you that it's very hard to get any kind of live support. So that one alone could be worth the expected price of $2.99 a month. And I'll also note, you know, this is just the first round of this, and it hasn't been released in the U.S. yet, so more features are coming. It's my hope that when Twitter Blue finally does premiere here, that it'll offer more than the list I just read to you.
And you say $2.99 a month, that'll be the cost?
That's what they're saying right now. Yeah, it's that when you apply the exchange rate in Canada and Australia. So it seems like it's going to be $2.99 here.
Scott Kleinberg with us talking about social media. And what kinds of features would move the needle for you when we're talking about Twitter Blue, Scott?
Well, like we were talking about before, Bob, that edit button, that's still the gold standard in Wish for Twitter features. Even though I don't know that I need it, I feel like it's part of my destiny to one day have it. But there are definitely others that I can think of that are much more important, like special badges to verify journalists to help fight back against this fake news narrative that's out there. The ability to post longer videos in higher quality would be great. The ability to apply analytics hashtags so you could measure effectiveness, that would be incredible for small businesses, large businesses, just any businesses. And perhaps the most important one of all that I believe should be 100% part of the core product, not just Twitter Blue. And that is a robust reporting feature so people can report dangerous and hateful tweets. And when I say dangerous, I'm not just talking about, you know, just what you think of, you know, as threats. I'm talking about anything from political lies, falsehoods about vaccines, just the things that, you know, we need to make sure that are not spreading on social media. Most reporting now is focused on, you know, those threats, that foul language. And while that's vitally important and it still has to be addressed, the list of what makes social media dangerous goes so far beyond that that Twitter should use Twitter Blue as a testing ground for such a system because they're catering to the power users. So that way the power users would have a chance to see how it works, and then it should be rolled out to every single account.
Yeah, that sounds good. Any ways to come together and battle misinformation would be very, very beneficial to a lot of folks.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
And to answer the thing I know everyone is thinking now, Twitter Blue is still optional, right? The free version definitely is not going away.
You are absolutely right about that. Twitter actually confirmed that because there were so many people that were asking them about it to alleviate such concerns. And I have actually received over 100 inquiries from people in direct messages and other ways to ask me if I'm sure about that. I am sure that there will always be free Twitter.
You know, back to the problem of misinformation, it would be nice to sort of be able to police that a little bit more. But, I mean, you're always going to have the situation where if you tweet a correction or you point out a falsehood, someone else is going to comment on your tweet and dispute that. It just never ends.
That's absolutely right. There, I don't believe that there is ever a way to make it end. And maybe this is old school thinking. I could be guilty of this, but I do think that if there's a way to stop just a little bit of it from just turning into this big avalanche, that it could help improve things. But you're right. There's always going to be someone out there. But in the case of an editable tweet, you know, if you have something that's absolutely, if you have something that needs to be updated, not even if something that needs to be wrong, you go in and you edit that tweet to update what's new. Then all of a sudden, when someone's sharing it, they're sharing the right information. To me, that's just that little bit of a push that'll make a big difference.
Right. Let's hope. Okay, now time for you to open up your genius bar to handle my dumb question of the week. And I want to ask you about Dropbox. I'm a little confused about Dropbox now. A couple of things about Dropbox. First of all, when somebody sends you something in Dropbox, it's going to go away after a period of time, isn't it?
No, not necessarily. Remember what Dropbox is. Dropbox is like Dropbox is very similar to like Google Drive or even just your iCloud. Dropbox is a place to store files and photos on the cloud. So no, I mean, if you save something to Dropbox and you go back to your Dropbox account, you shouldn't lose what's there. It should save for as long as you want it to save.
But you have to download what you get in Dropbox, right?
No, that depends on how you're using it. See, I see what you're saying. If someone sends you something in Dropbox and you want to put it somewhere else, okay, and you want to put it somewhere else, then yes, you would need to download it and put it somewhere else. But you can also save it to your Dropbox. Everybody gets a free Dropbox account. So you could save it to your Dropbox and you can always have it there. So technically, if you get something in Dropbox, you don't really have to put it somewhere else. You can just leave it there. It also depends on the size of the file. The free Dropbox account you get, I don't remember exactly how much you get, but at a certain point, it's going to say you need to pay more money to have more space. So as long as you have the space to store it in that free tier, you don't necessarily have to download it. But if you want to share it, there's nothing wrong with downloading it.
Yeah, I've been bringing in some of my old reel-to-reel tapes, and one of our engineers, Bob Ferguson, has been kind enough to go through the tapes, digitize everything for me, and then he has it in a Dropbox. And then so, if, for example, we want to play an old clip here from what I call the dumpster of memories, I can just go back to that Dropbox, and then we can get it in a format or somehow fix it. Control Room Joe takes care of that so we can play it on the air. But so far, whenever I want to hear the additions that Fergie has made, I go back to his original email and Dropbox. There's got to be an easier way to do that, right?
Well, yes. And I mean, what you're doing is not wrong. Let's start with that. That is definitely one way to do it, going back to the email, going back to the Dropbox. But what you can do is you can do one of two things. You can consider Dropbox to be this place that stores it, which is what you're doing with the email, or you can consider it to be a temporary place where you go into your Dropbox and you download it somewhere else. Let's say to your desktop, let's say to your Google Drive, let's say to your regular iCloud, and then you have it there. So it depends on how redundant you want it to be. If you want it to live in more than one place, you can do that. I can tell you that if someone sends me something in Dropbox, I usually open it. I decide whether or not I want to keep it as something I want to go back to, like you just described with yours. If I do, I usually put it somewhere else that I use a little more often, like Google Drive. And if not, I leave it in my Dropbox and I go back there just like you said you did. So it's not necessarily a matter of doing it wrong. It's just a matter of doing it the way that works best for you.
Thank goodness we post these segments after 9 o'clock on WGNRadio.com on our show page. You go to WGNRadio.com/Surratt and you can find these interviews because I need to hear all this again. Thank you, Scott.
I appreciate you listening to me more than once, Bob. That really makes a difference. Thank you.
Talk to you next week.
It's take care, Bob.
4 minutes before 8 o'clock news time from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I'm inspired now to tweet something. But I don't have Twitter blue, so I can't undo this, so I got to be careful here. But let me write this tweet here, and you'll be able to see it in a few seconds at Bob Surratt, okay? Coming soon, my summer record collection special on Facebook.com/... Surratt and Murciano. For various reasons I won't bore you with, we can't post that at WGNRadio.com, but that special we did over the Memorial Day weekend on a Saturday night, the 2 hours of summer music, we will put that on the Facebook page that Marianne and I have. So let me tweet that out. Oh, this is very cool. I wrote Facebook.com/Serrato Murciano and the icon popped up. What will they think of next? Maybe this is just something Scott arranged for me. All right, let me hit the tweet button. Here it is. Yeah, I got to ask Scott about that. I'm not sure that is supposed to happen when you tweet something.
Yeah, and suddenly all the internet just went out everywhere. It's globally gone. I don't know what happened.
Oh, you've got a new lead story. Oh.